Are we all ready? Are we all ready?
Well, more or less, if I can stop freaking out about my SMTP not working, but...
Oh, we can fix it after the show. Jesus. It's the Max...
I can't send email.
Well, it can be... Who sends email during a show? That's terribly rude.
All right, sorry, go.
It's the Max Show, yes. Adam Christian has given his permission. Christianson has given his permission. I'm too worried about not putting a son on the end of Kelly Hodgkin's name.
Now you didn't do mine.
I've forgotten the son on the end of Christianson's name. Bloody hell. Adam has given us his permission to start, so we are here for the week in Macintosh News, which is dominated by the fact that the news is coming on Monday.
Yeah.
Not today. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do a roundup of all the things that we want to see on the watch, including a TARDIS facility. And joining me to discuss all of that, what a panel. What a panel. Top left, first time we've ever started the show off with you, I think, Greeny. Mr. William Green.
Hello, chap.
How the devil are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. And yourself?
Yes, excellent, mate. You missed an absolutely fantastic letter last week. Have you listened to the show?
I did listen to the show, and I was pleased I wasn't on it.
No. What was his name? Oh yeah, it was your namesake.
Was it the Blackberry Mark, letter?
Yeah, Mark Green.
Yeah, it was very funny. No bugger laughed.
There was like tumble. Well, I read that out, and there was tumbleweed. Poor old Mark.
Well, I did. When I listened to it, sort of, so I wasn't on last week. When I listened to you, I listened to the show and you read the letter, it was lovely, absolutely glorious. So Mark, you got a terrific sense of humour and a lovely surname.
Perfectly. Yeah, but he's no relation. But a listener hanging by a thread. Well, I hope we recovered that, so. Have you been well?
But I thought it was a funny show as well.
Yes, I thought it was a funny comment, but no one laughed, mate. It was like tumbleweed rolling through the studio.
I know. So there it is. You know, there you go. I thought you handled the whole sort of situation very well.
I think everyone was just excited to find out what Chris Breen was going to do at Apple, and then they all walked away disappointed at the end.
Maybe.
So, next to him, it's Adam Christensen. How you doing, mate?
Good. How you guys doing?
Excellent, mate. Has it been a good week? Apart from your SMTP, of course.
Yeah, more or less. Busy, you know?
Yeah, that's nice.
Stuff going on, happening.
We like busy. Excellent. Next to him, it's Doc from Japan, no less.
皆さん、こんにちは。本当に日本も入ってみようなの。今な、ビッグショーのライブショーがありますけど、もうちょっと音楽が上から、もうちょっと静かにミュートボタンに押したら、もうサイレンスも入れな。申し訳ございませんでした。
So, you couldn't come on the big show and you can't get your mute button to work. Is that about it?
That's about right.
Are you big in Japan?
Hey man, it's been good. It's been really fun learning how to drive like you guys on the wrong side of the road.
So you're a whole day ahead, aren't you, of where you used to be?
Yes, it's Friday. Oh, take it back. It's Saturday morning at 12:17 a.m. Yeah. Somehow, when I'm on the show for you, I have to be 5 hours out of bed.
Yeah, sorry, dude. But we do appreciate the effort. Thank you so much for coming along.
Hey, it's awesome. Thank you.
And last but by no means least, from the Apple World Today, a first time on the show, and very welcome, Kelly Hodgkin's. How are you doing, Mrs.?
Doing very good. Thank you, guys, for having me.
Excellent. How's Maine? Is it wintry there? Have you got snow and stuff, or is it?
Yeah, we're in the middle of winter. About 4 feet of snow on the ground and 5 degrees outside.
Well, it's the British weather this weekend is supposed to be 15 degrees. So that means that most English people will be out in the budgie smugglers with the barbecue running, so... It couldn't be more world apart than it already is there, I'm afraid.
Can I ask about Maine?
Sure.
Shoot.
It's always to me held a very sort of romantic, mysterious part of my life. I've never been there, and I'm guessing it's on the coast. And I think the The Fog, the horror film The Fog, was based there as well, I'm fairly sure. And so what is it really like? Is it, it looks very beautiful, every picture I've ever seen of Maine.
Yeah, it's a huge state, one of the biggest in New England, and it has a lot of rocky coastline, lighthouses, fog, all that. I actually live in the inland part near the mountains, so we're in a lake area. I'm about 3 or 4 hours from the coast. So it's both mountains, very rural wilderness, and then you have a really nice rocky coastline. No beaches or anything like that. It's all rough coast, very cold water.
It sounds glorious. I'd love to go there one day.
It's nice. A lot of people come up here because it is so rural. I live in a town of 800 people, so there's probably more moose and deer than there are actually people in my area.
But there's 800 people working to correct that balance.
Yeah, all 800 of us.
Do they all live in the same house, or is it different houses?
Jesus Christ. she's already learning. She knew she didn't have to answer that.
Yeah. Yes, I know.
Well done, Kelly.
There was an eerie silence, wasn't there? The fog, you see. It's the fog rolling in right now.
There is a certain rhetorical element with Will Green. We've had a letter. Thank you very much to Gary Apter. I know Adam's been in conversation with Gary over this one, so we'll let Adam answer what he wrote. A letter from Gary saying, "Dear sirs, enjoying the most recent episode, having difficulty in my mind about patent trolls. I agree they seem to be a negative folk. However, I reflect on music copyright holders. How is this any different if someone has paid for these rights to be compensated for those rights? These patent holders aren't just making up papers laying claim, are they? Some previous holders sold or lost the rights, didn't they? Perhaps the argument should be directed more to the patent office rather than the patent holders. The music publishing holders don't need to have composed these songs, so why do patent holders need to create a device? Look forward to your thoughts, Gary in Boise." Adam, you gave him a great answer, actually, so do you want to pick up that point?
Well, yeah, I mean... My take on it is the whole idea behind patents and why we have them and why they were invented in the first place was, you come up with an idea and it was sort of to give you a limited amount of protection for a certain amount of time so that you could get your product to market and someone could come in and just, steal your original idea, right? Mm. So the whole intent was to protect something that you're trying to get into the marketplace. So kind of using Gary's analogy, it'd be sort of protecting your music and being able to get your music and your art out there. The problem with patent trolls now is what they're doing is they're just buying patents to stop other people from getting stuff into the marketplace. In essence, I mean, they're trying to get licensing. They're trying to make a business out of, forcing people to license a patent that isn't their idea. Generally, they didn't invent, they didn't come up with it. So it's doing exactly the opposite of what patents were originally intended to do, which was to enable inventors to get their products into the marketplace. They're actually prohibiting other people from innovating and developing new ideas or scaring people out of the market unless they're huge. But the whole point of the patent was so that the small guy could invent something and not get crushed and get into the marketplace and, maybe make a name for himself. So... that was sort of my take. And I think I gave him the example of, this company Personal Audio. Now, they're a little bit different because they actually did come up with a technology way back when, I think this was in the 80s, where they were going to do magazines on, they wanted to be able to distribute like magazine content. So they'd have people read from, I think, print publications and then distribute it. The idea was to distribute it online. But I think they ran into some obstacles there and ultimately ended up doing a mail service where they would send you, I think, an audio cassette and you could subscribe and listen to this. But they then claimed that they had the patent on distributing basically serialized content because it did cover, doing this over computer networks and stuff like that. So you can read all about the patent and stuff like that. But, it didn't work out for them. And then, podcasting comes along, 20 years later, and they claim, "Oh, well, we invented that."
Audio of an episodic nature was kind of covered off in the 20s, wasn't it? By Orson Welles.
Well, but distributed over a computer network was the thing that's in their patent that I think is the key to their claim. So they got a patent that says, you know, you could do this over a computer network. And it goes back to kind of what we talked about when I mentioned, you know, a big part, if you've ever been involved in developing a patent, and this is really, and Gary points this out in his email too, he says, you know, isn't it more right to kind of go after the system? And he's absolutely right. You know, it's the system that's broken because when you're developing a patent, one of the things you'll do is start writing broader and broader language so that you cover implementations of your patent that, you know, may or may not be able to be done now, but could be done in the future. And you hope to make it broad enough that you get, you know, extra protection, but obviously narrow enough that you're still going to get the approval. The problem is that I think there's not enough checks and balances in the current system to ensure that that patent's narrow enough. So like in this case, you know, these guys weren't able to do, their technology basically didn't exist to do what their idea wanted to do. You know, so maybe they were ahead of their time. And what they actually ended up inventing and putting into the marketplace was very different than the thing that they described. So they would probably argue, hey, look, you know, we had the idea, so it's our idea, even, you know, if it took 20 years to get it. But again, the problem is, remember, the original intent of the patent was so that I could get my invention into the marketplace and have a reasonable amount of time to establish my business and maybe make some money. And these guys did have a business for a while, and I don't know if they ever made a profit or not, but, you know, they did get a version of their idea out there, and I guess they could have kept innovating and stayed in the market, and, you know, maybe that would be a different story, but you go away for 20 years and then new technology, you know, comes out and it's a variant, you know, it's a riff on something, then I think other people should have the opportunity to bring that to the marketplace.
There needs to be, I mean, Gary, you're exactly right that the system's broken. Gary's right that the system's broken. But I think the analogy with music doesn't hold on the basis that actually what you're saying there is effectively someone is trying to stop me writing a song when they haven't written a song themselves.
Correct, yeah.
And that's where it kind of falls down, because the song has already been written with copyright. I think that the great point there is perhaps if you want to solve patent problems, if you create a device or a service, you have a patent for that with a reasonable period of time to develop it, which should be stipulated at 3 to 5 years or 1 year, whatever it is. And then at the end of that, your patent automatically lapses because you haven't achieved what you intended.
You know who pisses me off?
Oh. I dread to think, but go ahead, Will.
Well, it's sort of connected. Leonardo da Vinci.
Well, he's not exactly trolling people for a bit of extra cash, is he now?
Yeah, but I can draw a picture of a helicopter, doesn't mean I can make one, or a picture of a balloon, doesn't mean I can make one. It's sort of...
Quite right.
It's sort of, you know, I can draw a picture of a rocket ship or a spaceship or anything else, and then be celebrated as a genius in years to come, because I just drew a picture of it. And in some ways, I mean, I think probably one of the worst offenders of this sort of patent thing is Apple, because isn't that the basis of all the Apple / Samsung arguments that have, or court cases that have happened over the years? Because they keep pinching each other's ideas, and I think Leonardo da Vinci has, as you know, I think he should put his hand up and say, actually, you know, I drew a picture of a helicopter. Didn't actually work.
No,
and move on. You know,
forgive me for playing devil's advocate here, Will. But he can't put his hand up because he's been dead.
We could dig him up
for 500 years. And B, he's not actually trolling anyone for financial benefit from it.
He's not claiming financial benefit from it. And, you know, and the thing with Apple and Samsung, again, you know, not to excuse some of the behavior that both those companies have participated in, they are in some ways a victim of the broken system, though, because, you know, once you start down this road where you're writing these broad patents, you're then required to protect them, otherwise completely lose them. Now, I'd prefer they take the higher road like Elon Musk did with Tesla, with their battery technologies, and said, hey, we want to see innovation in this and we want to be pushed ourselves. So, you know, go ahead. We've got all these battery patents, but we're not going to go after you if you, you know, try and improve upon our battery technology.
Mm.
You know, and I don't know that that's the ultimate solution either. I think there's maybe somewhere in the middle that we can fall, but you know, it does need to be fixed. And I think at what I said at the end of the day when I was replying to Gary too is, you know, there's just a being a reasonable, ethical human being part of this too, you know, and Tesla's kind of going more down that path. And I wish we'd see more companies and people kind of go down that path and go, look, we need the little guy to be able to get into the space, to innovate, to push things forward. We can't just start using the system to block these guys out, because that's not what this is all about. This is, you know, this is about pushing things forward, and the current system is really stifling.
I think it is an issue that challenges the whole of the tech market going forwards, because we're at a situation where you've got a saturation given the current technology of ideas. So people are going to be coming forward just stopping stuff or looking to gain lucrative amounts of money from it without having to have done anything. And it will ultimately lead to a stagnation in innovation, which is not what we want, because that's what we currently have a really quite good amount of. So.
Yeah. And
can you imagine the headlines really coming out of Eastern Texas about the Sikorsky Corporation going up against the family of Leonardo da Vinci because of a helicopter?
Yeah.
Well, and to get to a place where this combines with sort of what Will's talking about, there's a great video series that was done a few years back called Everything's a Remix. So go out and find that and watch it. And it makes a very valid point that, you know, every idea going all the way back, in some ways, if you go far enough back or make enough connections, you can realize everything is a remix and a rehash and a riff. And whether it's in art or music or technology or business, or, you know, you're always learning and then riffing off of somebody else's ideas and sort of remixing things up and coming up with new ideas. And everybody does this, and we've all done it. I mean, it's human nature. So if you get bogged down in all of that minutia, you know, that's when we end up with these kinds of problems. You know,
where, I'm going to draw a picture.
Oh, I own the ideas. You could go back and say, well, I own the ideas to everything because of X, you know, and then it just gets crazy.
If I draw a picture of Alan Christensen in a balloon and then he actually gets in a balloon, I can sue you because it was my idea.
Sure.
Would that work or not?
That was your art, was it? That was your performance art, Will.
If you get a patent on it, sure.
Okay.
Let's move on.
So then you can never ever get in a balloon. Even if you wanted to, you can't.
Kelly, if you're waiting to be invited to talk, it ain't gonna happen.
No, I'm not interjecting. Patents are not my strong point.
Good. Right. Okay. Moving
Cody
on.
Ferguson is the guy who did the Everything's a Remix series.
You're looking for that on
Google. I think he's got them up on YouTube and Vimeo. So search for those. They're awesome.
The chat room's gone off on a bit of a bender on it. And
I'll put it in the chat room. Everything's a Remix.info.
Bookery keeps hearing Leonardo DiCaprio. Oh, someone's dropped the plates. Right, Java. We'll start off with a story about a complete bunch of bastards. It looks like Oracle, in the latest version of Java, version 8, update 40 for the Mac, have stuck in a bit of adware there. So ask.com will be installed as a default search bar in Chrome and Safari if you install it. Adam's had a look on his computer and he says he's got the default version at the moment, but that's 31, is it, you say, or 32?
31, yeah.
But if you get the new stuff, update 8, Java 8 update 40 for the Mac, it will have adware in it, which I think is a bit of a shite thing to do, to be honest.
Very much so.
I mean,
that's a sad state. If Oracle needs that to continue their business, then they're in really big trouble.
Yeah, I mean, ask.com isn't actually the end of the world when it comes to search. It's not too bad. I mean, it does give some interesting results, but I should go there because I want to.
Or do they own ask.com? I guess that's the other thing I should check. Did they at some point buy ask.com? Is this a we're promoting our self play, or is this a we made a deal with ask.com for a bunch of money?
Yeah, apparently there is an option to set this. I've done a bit more reading since we were talking before the show. It says Java installer selects the options to install Ask extension by default. So it means that users will probably end up installing it without realizing it. So they've updated their installation instructions on Mac to account for the changes. So you can remove the Ask toolbar if you would like to. but the default setting is to have it on. So
you know what I did that, Ewan? Because Larry bought the island of Lanai from the state of Hawaii, and now he needs some money to pay for the hotels that he wants to build there. So he probably thought, oh, you know, that's a good idea. Let me just install a toolbar to get a hotel built on an island in the tropics.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a man who bought 6 beach houses on Malibu, so that he bought a house on Malibu, and then he bought the 6 houses around it so that no one could walk past on his bit of beach. So he owned them all. A buffer, if you like.
Why not? Well, I'd totally do that if I could.
Yeah. Which of us, if we were billionaires, would actually end up being a Bond villain, do you think?
Because gotta say, definitely Greeny.
Yep.
He is Bond. What are you talking about? He is Bond.
I've got a bit of an eye infection at the moment, and it weeps a little bit when I go outside. And I do remind myself slightly, you know, because every Bond villain has to have some sort of physical deformity. And I feel that's mine.
A weepy eye.
I weep at my left hand eye when it's a bit cold.
Didn't
that villain's name Weep Eye?
Yes, I think I'm going to go with that.
Weepy eye. Didn't Donald Pleasance do the weepy eye thing though? He had the big scar, didn't he? Yeah, so it was.
Oh, I haven't got a scar.
Maybe there's prior art on weepy eyes, mate, and you're going to get a copyright claim against you for that.
Maybe. I've got a mole. If I don't shave, it grows hairs. Would that work?
No, because that's been done in Austin Powers. Yeah. Yeah, see?
Hold on. I fell off a ladder, and so I've got a lot of metal going on in my foot. Sometimes when it's cold, I limp a little bit. And if you look at, like, Sherlock Holmes, they call it... I think Watson says the sinister cripple. Can I go with that? Can I go with the sinister cripple?
Oh, I've heard you described as that before, yes. So
I'm going to go for sinister cripple with a weepy eye.
Windrider in the chat room says, is Greeny cold an eye? Very good.
That's not bad, is it? Yeah, it's fair enough.
Molly, molly, molly. And Bookery says, golden eye Greeny. There we go. Oracle, you're a bunch of bastards.
Anyway, what the hell are you talking about? Where did this come from?
Well, you haven't updated your computer since Java was invented, Greeny, so that's where you're missing.
You wait till my pick.
Oh, right. Are you going to pick Java?
Nope.
Ask.com. Mm-hmm.
No. I've got my BlackBerry.
Save it for the pick. You can't say BlackBerry. I've got to tweet BlackBerry, bleep BlackBerry if you say a word. You can't mention your playbook.
I didn't actually say that, did I?
You didn't say BlackBerry. I'll grant you that. That's fine. But if you say BlackBerry, I've already got no more.
You both said it.
I know. I've got to tweet. I've got to bleep all that stuff now.
I like BlackBerry.
Okay, Google.
No, we did all okay Google last night. We can't do that again. Someone actually signed into the chat room last night on the big show. It was okay Google and kept writing stuff that we ended up reading out. So. Apple Watch is coming next week then, so we've got a big event. If you are, interestingly actually, if you're in London on Monday at 5 p.m. at Tiger Nightclub in the Haymarket, the London Mac User Group will be holding an event. There was a couple of hundred people there last time. It was absolutely awesome. They watched the keynote live, big discussion, and the interesting thing this time will be, if you attend and you buy yourself a raffle ticket, you will win an Apple Watch. Oh, yes. Go to the Apple keynote at Elmug at the Haymarket in Tiger Nightclub and you can win an Apple Watch straight away.
I'm getting the sack on Monday.
You're not.
I think I am.
Really? What have you done?
Nothing really. I suppose that's the problem.
Oh, okay.
I just had this email that said... you know, something, my boss and me, you know, we need a review. And I'm fairly convinced I'm going to get the sack on Monday.
No. No, no, no.
I put you 20 quid on it.
Well, you'll need the 20 quid. So, yeah, all right. I'll give you 50. How's that?
Okay. Sounds good.
If you get made redundant, I'll give you 100 quid.
Because if I get the sack on Monday, I'll get 100 quid.
Off me, because you'll need it.
Well, chuck it towards the NSPCC, which is where...
Well, you know, if you've been made, if you've been sacked, mate, you need it yourself.
Maybe.
Yeah, no, we'll sort some out. All right, we might have to do a price match thing, 50 quid each.
Yeah, maybe, and we'll both chuck it to the NSPCC. You'll
be fine, Greenie. People recognise talent when they see it, Greenie. Stay calm.
I don't think they do, not in this case. I think they recognise an idiot.
I don't think so. Anyway, so yeah, the Apple Watch is coming on Monday. So go to the Haymarket and go to Tiger Tiger Nightclub and Elmug will sort you out. Now then, is everyone excited? No one's excited. No one's
excited. I am. I'm pissing my pants with excitement.
Are you quivering, Greenie, at the anticipation of Johnny Ive making a film going, we thought of the design ethic?
No.
Yeah, because he's been spouting on as well about the design of it and how mature it is as a design as well. But
to be honest, I did used to have a bit of a man crush on Johnny Ive, but he's sort of bored me now. I mean, he comes out with the same bollocks every time. And there's only so many of these ridiculous adverts you can take, isn't there? Is that just me, or will anybody else back me up?
No, it's just you.
No, I got to admit, I think there's a certain sniff of the of bull when Johnny does do his videos. They were good at the start, but you know, Johnny against the white background and not on the stage, he's getting a bit suspicious now.
Yep, he gets the old ice cubes on his nipples.
What?
Do you know why he gets the white background and not the stage?
Because he doesn't like the live stage, I guess, but.
No, it's not only that. Like, there are certain people who can do the video thing because they can say what they have to say because no one else can see them. They're sort of in the room with themselves and just the cameraman. And in some cases, they even put the cameraman and leave him remotely. Like, I did radio for years, and we had one person who everyone thought was one of the best readers, but that person couldn't do air shifts unless it was at midnight when no one else was in the station. And the person did all the radio commercials. They did everything. Everyone loved their voice. But whenever we would have a concert and, you know, promoters would request, oh, they want, you know, this guy to come out on stage, he just couldn't do it. He couldn't go in front of people without freezing. But he could lock himself in the room and do the best voiceovers in the world. And something tells me that, you know, Johnny might have a bit of stage fright. And you would not want the whole planet to know that maybe one of the most incredible people in the world has probably one of the dumbest fears you could possibly have, which is stage fright, because it's really easy to get over it. You just say, okay, I'm over it. It doesn't require therapy or anything weird like that, you know? So I think part of it is that. And I would also say he's not a big fan of crowds, because I have been in Cafe Mac with Johnny on many occasions, and he's always one of the last guys sitting in lunch at one of the, you know, and he just grabs his lunch and kind of goes off about his merry ways. So I won't say that he's a loner, but he don't like the whole crowd and whatnot. So I know that from my time working at Apple, and I'm going to assume that he has stage fright.
Right. Okay. Questions in the chat room. Windrider wants to know if the white room is a padded room, in fact. And iBookery says, is Johnny Ive just Max Headroom?
That's a possibility,
not
too.
Not a real individual at all.
Or the Wizard of Oz is like a bunch of servers in the basement.
He's definitely pulling the strings, if that's what you mean. So the Apple Watch is coming out. I've got to say, I think there's... I think this is a really important keynote for them, because if they stand up and they come out with some trite crap like they did when they did the pseudo launch last time with it, I think they're going to be in a lot of trouble. I think people are going to get really pissed off with them, because they need to address what's been coming out of the rumor mill, and they need to address obsolescence. If they're particularly talking about watches that are at $5,000 to $10,000, obsolescence is the elephant in the room. I had an argument with
you. No, it's not. No, it's not.
Yeah, go on. Tell me why it's not.
I don't want to hear it. I'm willing to go to fisticuffs over this one.
Right, so why is obsolescence not one of the crucial questions?
if you have the ability, and everyone talks about it when they get to the gold watch, okay? And that's because the people that are having this conversation, a bunch of broke asses, and just because you don't do it that way doesn't mean other people don't do it that way. I have idiots that come to my club every weekend, thank God because I get part of the money, who sit in the VIP room and drop $5,000 on 3 bottles of champagne every single weekend, 52 weekends a year. And they don't even think about it. And it's just champagne. So they could be next to some dim-witted, you know, people that come and hang out next to them and pretend like they're the greatest thing since running water. So just because they have the ability to do it doesn't necessarily make them dumb, doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing. The people who can afford to buy the $5,000 or now some idiot said $9,000 watch don't care if they have to buy another one 5 months from now, 2 months from now, or even a month from now. They would just go buy another one. Just because the $300 people aren't them people doesn't mean that those people don't exist. And for all the shareholders asking Apple to make more money, as if that's a possible thing, they just set up the perfect opportunity to do so. I'm going to sell gold watches, like one a day, to people who are crazy enough or have the means to buy such a thing. So I just wish all of the tech guys would stop saying that, because most of them aren't making the type of figures that would allow them to waste that money. But you can't belittle the people that can, or say Apple is dumb because they're forcing them to do that. So let's say that. So I don't think that's a big deal if it is something that you change every year. Now, even for the $300 people, if you could get 2 cycles out of a it's $400. Let's fix that. If you can get 2 cycles, meaning 2 years out of a $400 watch before you have to buy another one, so what? No biggie. And if you can't afford that, then don't buy one. But don't talk shit about it.
I think you're on a different planet, man.
You've upset him. I don't know what you've said, but you've upset him.
No, because I hear people say that, oh, BMWs are expensive. You know what? I buy a brand new one every 2 years without fail, and I can. So what? Get off of it.
Yeah, but you sell the old one at a decent price, at least half value.
No, I don't. I lease it, so I don't sell it. But I get a new one every 2 years, and
yeah, so you're not paying full price for it either, then.
No, but people say, "Oh, well, you're throwing that money away." No, because those are the kind of cars that when they get on their third year, crap starts breaking, and the repairs are $10,000. So I just write it off as a business expense. I heard the same arguments about switching to Creative Cloud. And I'm like, I'm not paying for Creative Cloud. My customers are. Move on. I mean, but just because you can't afford it doesn't make me an idiot. Okay, I just do business the right way. Right,
no one's name calling here, Doc. Steady on.
No, but I mean, I've heard it over and over again on many a cast. No, nobody on our cast has said such a thing because it's only logical. There are literally people out there who print money. And it's okay, you know, but it's so funny. Most of the tech guys are like, oh, this is crazy. This is too expensive. Or no one's going to buy a new watch every year if it's, you know, $5,000 and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, the people that fit that market. Yeah. Motorbiker, shut up. BMW's rule.
I think you've got to seriously say, well, hang on, what's going to pay back your R&D, which is probably fairly big on this item because it's so miniature in comparison to other devices that they've got, particularly with the things like the screen. What's going to pay back your R&D and your production costs over a 3-year period so that you're in distinct profit on this? And yeah, there'll be a huge amount of sales, don't get me wrong. But the amount that you've got to reek back in and then say, well, what's the profit margin on that we're going to get and make our 50% or whatever the profit margin is total in the entire process? There's people that will sit and look and for a start, they will go, $350 for a simple watch that tells the time and does a little bit more. Okay, the tech element I get, the geeks will go for it, but then you say that that watch will only last a year or 2 years. People don't buy watches that last a year or 2 years. People buy watches to keep in perpetuity and to hand down through their families and things like that at the higher end. And I think there isn't enough people that are going to be buying a $10,000 watch or a $5,000 watch that are going to get you back your R&D costs. That's a hell of a gamble.
I think there is, because you got to remember that it is made out of gold. And so worst case scenario, if you accidentally hate it, you can smelt it and get some of your cake back out of the gold. There's that. And then second of all, the people that buy that ticket of item, they don't care about their return on investment. Although what you're talking about as far as Apple goes, in a jewelry space, a 50% markup would put you as a business loser. In the jewelry space, the markups in somewhere in the neighborhood of about 400 to 500% of costs. every married man in this cast over here should know that, because the ring that you bought your old lady is really only worth about $1,000, but Lord, no, you didn't get away with that.
Okay. Anyone else got any different theories than mine or Doc's?
Nope.
I was quite happy with my pun that watches last a long time, but...
Very good. Thank you, Greeny. It was pointed out on last week's show that the spring forward thing, Apple doesn't have a really good track record with date settings. You know, when the clocks change. Their daylight savings screw-ups in iOS are legendary. So launching a watch around the time of daylight savings changes is probably not one of the best ideas they've ever had.
The one thing I would say, Doc, and please don't take offence at this, that, and I think you make a very good point that different people have different tastes, and I'm sure it's a very British thing, but the idea of having a gold watch... it's a bit tacky, isn't it?
Well, it depends on your style program. Like me, I don't wear gold at all. I just don't really like it. It doesn't match my caramelly, you know, cinnamon complexion. I prefer stainless steel or sterling silver. But that being said, I'm sitting here in a place where everything is gold. And I also spend about a month and a half to 2 months a year in China. And if Japan has a lot of gold, you should see what China looks like. So it's culturally not that thing, but it's a big thing in a lot of other cultures.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Friday in Japan is called Kinyobi, a.k.a. Gold Day.
Well, that's nice.
Kelly, what's your opinion on the watch?
Well, I'd have to agree with Doc. You know, I think there are a lot of people who have that expendable cash and they don't mind throwing down the money for the watch. Even in my area, I see people that have second houses, million-dollar houses on the lakes nearby, and this is a place they come just for a week or two during the summer, and their monthly taxes are more than my monthly mortgage. So I don't think that, I do think that there's a market for it, and I think people will buy it without hesitation and not worry about it becoming obsolete. The people who will are people like me who don't make enough money and can't afford the $5,000 one. So a $500 or $600 watch, I want to get a couple of years out of it.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't wear a watch at all, but I've got a Pebble watch, which suffices. Pebble's got the new one that's come out, and that's been oversubscribed like you wouldn't believe at the Kickstarter, which to me makes me wonder how many of those people are actually going to be stolen away from the Apple sale, or whether they're Apple sale as well as.
I think they're different customers. I think we talked about this last week.
Yeah, they're Android and that kind of stuff, but there's something not right. You know, when you lie awake at night thinking about an issue... I've never lain awake thinking, oh, Apple's got the iPad horribly, horribly wrong. I've never thought Apple's got MacBook Pros horribly, horribly. Oh, you know, the Retina screen is a disgraceful idea. What the hell were they thinking? But with the Apple, with the Apple Watch, I sit there and I think to myself, something doesn't feel right.
Nah, it's rubbish.
Well, you felt that way about the iPhone too for a while, right?
Well, no, I think I was exactly exonerated on the iPhone, because I said, it's not a big enough screen. It doesn't do enough for me. There's not enough customization. And the camera and video is not as good as the 1020, which I bought because I want the camera off it. And the camera and video on the 1020 were significantly better than the iPhone 5. The iPhone 6, and this is where I think I am true to my word, I base things on their merits. I will not suck up to a brand because it's the brand. And I moved to an iPhone 6 because of the video and the camera. Okay.
So here's my take is you're proving you're kind of proving the point here, which is for you, you're not necessarily a version one Apple product sort of guy. And what you're asking about in some degree is all the people that are those people like myself. And, you know, I'm going to buy one of these things. Is it going to be perfect out of the gate? Probably not. You know, is it going to have everything that we want and it should be? Absolutely not. I mean, there's lots of things that I wish it was that it's not, but that's not going to stop me from playing and enjoying it. But I totally get you on, hey, you know, there's things that could be a lot better with this thing and maybe should be.
I don't know whether it's any good or not. I mean, that's my point. I think one of the things that, we sit and slag off the rumor mill, and I've got very tired of the rumors around the Apple Watch, but Apple's very lucky in terms of its development, because actually the rumor mill, to a certain degree, as long as you exclude the stuff that's utter complete moronic intentions, the rumor mill is something which you should be listening to in the development of your products, because it's clearly what people are saying they want from it. And the thing with the rumor mill is there's been an awful lot of stuff around it, but there's been an awful lot of press written about how much we don't know about the watch and the concerns of people saying, right, okay, there's an event on Monday. On Tuesday, you can throw down up to $10,000 to buy these watches. Unless they answer those questions, those dollars will not be thrown at it. And Apple should have got their ducks in order here, because all of the rumor mill questions are the things that they have to address in the keynote. And if they don't, they run the risk of people not buying it.
Well, you know, the problem is, even if they checked every single checkbox that every person thinks is the right amount of checkboxes for them,
which is not,
there'll be another 4 million people saying they didn't check the other right checkboxes, which are the right checkboxes for them.
I couldn't agree more, but that's not what I've just said. As you know, you have to look at the rumors that are out there, and you get rid of the ones that are clearly just nonsensical, but the ones that keep coming up and keep repeating and keep being said from sensible journalists, and there's a lot of sensible journalists been raising a lot of sensible questions on the Apple Watch, unless you address those are the things that people clearly want done.
My biggest fear with the Apple Watch, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is going to be the one thing that, as a version one product, is going to be its big Achilles heel, is the battery. I think the battery is going to wind up in real world usage for most people being much lower than what Apple's going to claim in that keynote.
Especially, I think they're going to the claim
that
it's
20 hours, somewhere in that range, and I'm predicting most people are going to be lucky to get 10 to 12.
Yeah, the first 2 months is going to be everybody playing with it, and it's going to be everybody complaining that it's not long enough. But then once you settle into what is your normal everyday use, I think it will be fine. But, you know, I agree with what Ewan is saying to some extent. But at the same token, Apple and nobody should be making products to match what even the sensible journalists say, because the sensible journalist isn't John Q. Public. Most of them have a tendency, through their non-biased opinion, to inject 89% of their own opinion and what they want, and not what the actual general public that's reading their stuff want. And that was something that, too, we tried very hard to stick away from. And I used to try my hardest not to put the eyes in my articles unless I was given an anecdotal approach to saying that I had tested it, or in my testing, this is what I found. But I never really once said I was left finding, I wish it had more salt, because it's not for me. That's not the way I write. And that wasn't the way Victor wanted us to write. Correct, Kelly?
Correct.
So we took a hard stance on not being, God, don't get me in trouble for this, Leo, who loves to tell you why he doesn't like what Apple did, because it doesn't fit Leo. And what that does, though, is it sets 40, 50,000 people in motion to agree with something that they don't even know left from right. They just followed along in his path. And when you have the strength of the sword that we have, we sort of need to be careful with what we say, because we can affect or set expectations for people that can go super sour, because there are lots of people that listen to us. So it's a responsibility on us to speak from an everyman standpoint.
Yeah, I think that the thing that Apple has got, and I think it sounds out a little bit what you're saying there, is that there is an emphasis, or there is a requirement on Apple to be quite diligent in what they produce and to explain well what they've produced, because there is a kind of stupidity that goes along with Apple purchases. There are people out there who would quite happily drop thousands of dollars on Apple products without even a spec. Not I've got a new black box from Apple. It's $4,000. Gotta have it. You know, without it, well, is it a computer? Is it a bouncing bomb? Is it, you know, what is it? And it doesn't, there is a certain diligence on their part that's required. So this is what it is. This is clearly what it does. This is clearly what it not does. Do not expect it to be something else other than that. And that should be echoed through in the journalistic element as well. Yeah. I agree.
I don't really understand why is it that they automatically get given a different yardstick. That's the only thing that bothers me about the whole issue whenever it comes to any reporting on a subject is they get given a yardstick that's like 8 kiloliters. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. 8 kilometers long, where everybody else is based off of a standard 36 inches.
Well, I just want to say, I think there's a purchase stupidity around Apple. And I mean that in an inverted commas thing. In that there are, you know, there are people that would never buy a sofa as quickly and easily as they would buy an Apple product, which is twice as much. They would do more diligence in purchasing a sofa or a cooker than they would ever do with an Apple product.
No, and I agree with that, but I mean from a journalistic standpoint, why do so many journalists hold them at a level that's almost unfair, and they get blamed for stuff that it's technically not even their own fault?
I wrote an article on that, mate, and I got absolutely vilified for it. The journalistic moronicy of Apple. I'll find it for you and I'll send it to you. You can go, see, this is what I don't get. I say stuff and everyone goes, oh, you're a complete idiot, Rankin. And then a year down the line, lo and behold, bigger iPhone comes out. What do I know?
And to answer Doc's question, I think they get a bigger yardstick because of, you know, fair or not, it's their market capitalization, and they're now the, you know, almost doubly the most valued company in the world.
What about they were getting it before that, though? When the iPhone first came out, they hadn't even hit that mark yet. I mean,
I think that was perception at that point, but, you know, as they've grown and gotten bigger and their products have become more popular, I think that the tech community and the journalistic community just sees them, you know, you're always going to be that example when you're out there and you're that big, you're the biggest target, you know, you've got the biggest. And so in the case of the iPhone, when they were getting all that flack, I mean, they were the company to chase. So as long as you got the big target, you know,
you know, what's funny, Adam, when you say that is my grandmother used to have this saying, right? The higher the monkey climbed the mountain, the more his ass is exposed. And it was sort of the thing, like, you know, Clinton got yelled at for having a side bang because he was the president. Everybody else been doing it. There's like 8 guys in this hotel doing it right now on my floor. And this is a 12 floor hotel. So, you know, nobody cares about those guys, but he was the president. So, you know, I kind of sort of get that, you know, that aspect of it. But it's also a little bit crazy that people have a tendency to make these expectations. And I don't care if the lady behind me makes this expectation, she doesn't get it. It's the journalist, the high-powered journalist, the quote-unquote smart journalist, the Recodes, the Uncle Waltz, you know, who go out there and they say, well, we expect this, we expect this, we expect this. Apple doesn't do it. And they go, oh, Apple is doomed. Because they set an expectation that shouldn't have even been thought of. They made it up. And then when Apple doesn't give it, they say, oh, Apple sucks. And that kind of stuff drives me batty.
You're saying it doesn't make any sense.
Huh?
Well, if you've got a
monkey. It makes a good headline, though.
It does. But if you've got a monkey climbing up a tree, and he's like 7 foot off the ground, and you're looking at his bottom, and then he goes higher up the tree, you're going to see less of his bottom, aren't you? Until he gets to the top of the tree, and then you'll see none of his bottom.
My grandmother's a 103-year-old Puerto Rican lady. I don't think she cares what the hell you say.
And most of them, really, she doesn't give a shit what you think. Yeah.
Well, it's true, though. That saying is completely wrong.
No, I get it. I said the same thing when I was 12, but I got punched in the face for it.
That's a... Give me the telephone number of your great-grandma, and I'm going to
give her a
call.
Logic doesn't apply here, Will.
Yeah, it was a way of saying that, you know, as you become more important, you got to behave yourself. That was sort of what it was about. I got the gist of it without getting any more beatings.
But, you know, if you're going to make up a saying, at least make it sense. It's like, yes, anyway, there it is. I'm going to give her a call. I'll send her an email. In fact, I'm going to send her a telegram. Dear Mrs. whatever her name. That's so makes no sense at all.
Oh, God. Dear Mrs. Rock.
Yes, dear Mrs. Rock. I think if you find and reflect upon your message that it makes no sense. Anyway.
Oh, God. We just went from bad journalism to picking on my granny who passed away, so we can't talk to her anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry, mate.
Yeah.
No, it's all good. She did her 103 years, dude. We couldn't take it much longer.
That's a life to celebrate, no question.
Man, I hope I hope I scored those genes, though. I'll be around haunting you bastards forever.
Yeah. I've always wanted to do a paranormal podcast, and I will do. Oh, I'm kicking off a ghost walk. Not this Saturday, the Saturday after.
Oh, where's that then, Greeny?
In Ironbridge.
Right. Room 5 of the Tontine will be in play, I guess?
The whole lot will be there. We'll start there. I will try and channel Mrs. Box and everything else and wander around Ironbridge. I've got it all planned out. I've made nothing up. So it's going to be a combination of...
Are there really that many ghosts in Ironbridge?
Well, there's enough for an hour, isn't there?
Well, yeah. if you go to a pub, there's plenty of time.
I've got it all planned out.
Have you got a drink? Have you got a refreshment break in the pub?
Well, I thought at the end we could do a sort of a refreshment.
Have you sold tickets?
Not yet, but I have ordered my costume.
Who's coming though?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's
Have you advertised it?
No, well, not yet. But I'm going to put.
This is just a greeny pub crawl, isn't it?
No, it's not. I'm going to put an A-board outside the Tontine. And advertising it, I've ordered a top hat, a black frock coat, and a silver top cane. And I thought I'd just stand outside the Tontine, waiting for people to come, and that's it.
Most ghost walks make them up, says Batwinch.
Well, I'm not doing that.
They just stop and tell stories of the area, and that just takes up the time.
Oh.
Which you are. I'm not doing that.
Can I ask you guys a serious question about this Pebble Watch thing?
Go on.
Because I would like to go back to podcasting because it's 1 o'clock in the morning. All right. So, and I've done a bunch of different Kickstarters, mostly managing campaigns, and I've done one of my own. And what are rules say that you are not to use Kickstarter as a pre-order system or a distribution system? Yet 16,535,699 people have basically pre-ordered a Pebble from a well-established company that doesn't need our money to get to manufacturing.
Well,
already
pissed me off too.
I did point out that your bag people as well that did that, because the bag that you came out with the other week, you said they got a Kickstarter project for a brand new bag. They'd already got a business where they already made bags, and I didn't think that's what it was for.
You know, come to think of it, I would say that, but one thing Mark did say is that he needed to finish the R&D on this thing, and he had gotten to a particular part, and he didn't want to distract from the thing. But okay, I'm going to agree with you, because I'm going to say, okay, you know, Mark's my friend, I don't want to get in trouble, but I think I'll give you the correctness on that.
I wasn't
But here's the, just... here's the part that I think makes Mark them a little bit different. Scroll down to the bottom of the list, and there is specifically stated 112 people bought the distributor tier, 10 of each color, for $5,000.
Yeah.
It's one thing to say that, you know, okay, you know what, I'll be honest, my other friends at Jot, they have kickstarted like almost every stylist, and they're well established at this point too, you know, and you know, Dave and Chris are my friends, so I won't even, you know, get into that. But when you blatantly put the word distributor in your thing, that's saying something. And do you think Kickstarter just gives them a pass because they're 5% of 16.5 million is pretty wicked?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a certain...
No, that's not why.
I never had you as a cynic, Doc.
No, I'm not, but it kind of... I got irked, and what's funny is when I first noticed that it was going this crazy, I might have been listening to the last episode of Mattcast before I got on the plane. I think I was packing and I didn't have time to comment or email anybody or riff about it on Twitter, but I think it came up somewhere. I heard Adam talking
about it. Yeah, I talked about it.
And I was like, okay. And I remember saying that I'm glad I'm not the only one that's pissed off. And I meant to tweet you to say, Adam, you're not by yourself. And then, but, you know, that was a week ago. So, that's all.
Yeah, it's a little bit nuts. It actually, that might have been, and also might have been the iOS show. I can't remember, but it's come up.
Fair enough. Apple has got its own in-house security team. Now, previously they'd used contractors, but it looks like a significant proportion of the firm's security is going to be done in-house, so they get full Apple employee benefits. And in a statement, one of the Apple employees said that will, of course, allow them to fit electrodes to their testicles if they put anything wrong.
Mm.
I made that bit up. I mean, I think this is quite important because I mean, there's an awful lot happening at the moment around new products, isn't there? There's rumours of iPad Pro. There's rumours of 12-inch Retina MacBook Pro or Air. There's the watch coming out. There's God knows what else is sitting in the R&D function. And security is something that Tim wanted to double down on, of course. Necessary or not necessary?
I don't know. I just want to see anti-drone turrets on the new spaceship.
Nice.
Well, just
so do I. That would be wicked. I think it's necessary. And one of the things I find is funny about this is the guys who work security in the store, when I was in the store, at two out of the three stores are still the same security guys. So it kind of makes sense. They should be hired and getting that stock benefits and collecting a little money and all of that. Because like literally some of the same guys have been there for over 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a certain element with the security that it's layered anyway, isn't it? I mean, when I was at Apple last year's Macworld, the guy that was kind enough to let us go and have lunch there said that someone had flown a drone round the inner courtyards going across all the windows. And he said, but, you know, we're not that stupid. It's like someone goes, I've got to work on this really top secret project. I need a bit more light. Let me go over here by the window and do it. It isn't going to happen. So it was kind of stupid, really. But
you know, it was cool when I was at NASA last week. They pointed out that a bunch of the buildings don't have windows on the first floor.
Right.
Because, you know, back in the 50s and 60s, they didn't want people like spies coming in and like shooting through the windows.
No.
Well, no, looking for stuff.
That's funny.
Well, which was a bit, it's a different era though from now, whereas it's, you know, Johnny's got his dungeon, hasn't he? Or his R&D block and that kind of stuff, where his padded room is.
I think they have all, frosted windows and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Well, it used to be on the fourth floor, right? So when you walk in the building and you're on your way to the cafe or you're going to anywhere else, you know, the first day when you get clapped in, you know, I don't know if you guys know about getting clapped in, but when you get hired, you spend all your time clapping in. So, hey, wait, my auntie just came, scared the crap out of me. Anyway, so you basically get told, don't go anywhere near the fourth floor. And you will get eye fired like on the spot. And Steve used to stand up there and look over the courtyard and watch everybody. But the security is so tight that even every badge can block you from various doors and all of that, you know? So it was a pretty interesting setup how they had it. And it's good to see that they're taking measures, because I always say this, and I hate to be a curmudgeon, I miss the days of Apple where everything was a mystery. I can't speak right now. Where everything was a mystery. And when you got a product on launch day, it was almost like Christmas. Or when the keynotes came out, they were like Christmas. So I would prefer it if there were less leaks. Now, I know that puts a lot of our jobs at a different position. But I kind of miss that. I thought there was some really cool energy around that. And I'd like to see part of that come back.
Excellent. I think so, too. I mean, it's a shame. But it is what it is, I guess. You've got to live with it. Apple have created a whole new poster campaign of shot on iPhone 6 to try and demonstrate just how bloody awesome the camera is. And it is rather good, I have to say. I've been very impressed with it. They're actually doing billboard advertising using a picture shot on an iPhone 6. Now, I mean, there's a huge amount of this, as we said last week, is about decent lighting. But there's no way that an iPhone camera will produce something that's good enough to show up on a billboard and be picked apart by a fairly close commuter, I don't think. But some of the pictures I've seen look really, really good.
There's a lot of, you know, I used to work in an advertising agency, and even back then, there's a lot of amazing technology they can do to, you know, blow up images for billboards, and because of distance and all that other stuff. you'd have to get pretty close to that thing to probably see issues.
The interpolation on Photoshop is excellent, and I mean,
and you're going by at 60, 80 miles an hour or whatever it is.
Yeah, everyone goes on about genuine fractals being the de facto, but I can't tell the difference between genuine fractals and just standard bicubic interpolation in Photoshop. So,
I've always said that.
I can't tell the difference.
No, not me.
No. So
I've got a f***ing clue what you're talking about.
Thanks, Grinny. 59 minutes.
Sorry, Ewan. That's
Well, no. Bicubic interpolation is the way that Photoshop samples a pixel. So it looks at the pixel, and then it looks at the 8 pixels around it, and it makes up squares of 4 where the pixel to pixels of 9s overlap, and that's the way it does.
It has to do with upscaling images, well.
Yeah, it's upscaling of images. So there you go. But I think it's a brave move.
Tim Cook is boring.
Well, we've done that last week. Let's move on. Hot off the press, and I mean hot off the press, this is the first replacement Apple Watch strap. There you go. And it's called the Reserve Strap. I can't see who's made it. It's made by Reserve Strap, I think. But effectively, it's a watch strap that fits on your new Apple Watch that carries a battery in it and will recharge your Apple Watch during the day.
Wow, that's great, isn't it? You know, going back to the, we've done the Apple Watch thing, I think. But the one thing I will say about watches is I wear one that for me has got sentimental value. But more than that, it's sort of part of my daily routine. In the morning, I wind the watch, and I spend an awful amount of time on the train going backwards and forwards from here to London. And the amount of people, sort of professionals, I suppose, and we've all got our blooming laptops or iPads or whatever technology device plugged into the socket on the train. Or whatever. And I don't want to go back to the watch thing, but I do feel that it's one extra layer of technology that we could probably be quite happy without. That's all I'm saying. I meant to say that earlier.
Okay, thanks, Will.
That's all right.
So if it's something you can't do without, you can now get extra battery power, is what I'm trying to say. There you go.
Well, no, that's great, but it is the one big failing of, I think, pretty much all of the... So my BlackBerry Passport, I can...
You're not allowed to have BlackBerry.
Okay. I can use that for 3 days without charging it. My iPad or my iPhone, I struggle to get a day out of it. And I think battery power, whatever the technology is that we're talking about, is so fundamental. And I think that's where we get something like the Pebble, which has got... You know, what's that weird LCD technology? What's it called? iPaper or iInk or something?
E-paper.
Whatever.
E-paper.
Yeah. E-paper. That's a great innovation. That means you can wear your watch for days and days, whereas something like the iWatch or whatever technology you're talking about, if the technology starts to control your life based around your routine, which is based around when you have to charge it, you're on to a loser, myself. That's what I think.
Well, thanks, Will.
Oh, sod off. I thought that was a really good point.
It is. No, it is a good point. And I think there's... the technology takes your life. I think there is a problem, definitely. You're in too deep.
Yes, I think so too.
Most definitely.
So that's where the watch is going to...
Does Greeny wear a grandfather clock around his neck?
Yes, I do. I do. It's massive. Actually, they're not called a grandfather clock. They're called a long case clock.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that correction. I've got to say, going back to your point about iPhone 6 battery life is brilliant. 6 Plus, I get easily 2 days of normal use out of it, and it'll even last 3 days if I don't use it that much. So it's not bad. Not bad at all. This podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2. We've got some fantastic discussions going on with them at the moment. We've got a really exciting time coming up. There'll be a new website going up this weekend if everything goes smoothly. And we've got some fantastic images drawn by Len Peralta of the team. We've only got a few of the team done because it's all we could afford. But we've got some more coming up. There's one. There's me. Yeah, old grumpy me. Apparently that's my default state, grumpy. But we've got loads and loads of stuff happening in the next couple of weeks. One of the things that is going to happen as well is that UK2 have agreed to sponsor our streaming. So instead of having to go through live stream and deal with all the crap that we dealt with last night because live stream decided to update their software and it doesn't work, we're going to get our own streaming system, and they're also going to give us a separate server, and we've got our own distributed content management on it. So every one of you will get the live feed at exactly the same moment wherever you are in the world, no matter what. So the chat room should run much more smoothly then. UK2 are brilliant. They've got the 100 terabyte service, 100terabyte.com if you're in 100tb.com if you're in America. They do fantastic dedicated servers on that, which you're going to absolutely adore, so check them out. Use our click-through, please. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors and use the click-through, and you'll get an amazing deal on domains and hosting and co-location services and dedicated servers and VPSs, VPNs, the whole shebang. Thanks to UK2. If you get the moment, please take the time to tweet out to @UK2 that you're deeply in love with them, and thanks very much for looking after British Tech Network, because in the next couple of months they're going to give us an awful lot of support. We've got people who are dedicated to help us get the streaming thing up and running and things like that. They're putting a lot of investment into us, so please show your support and gratitude, because we would be lost without them. And thanks to Wirecast, they gave us £2,000 worth of software that helps us do the live shows and helps record them so that we can do the video stuff as well. And if you think, well, okay, I don't need $1,000 piece of video editing software, well, they do ScreenFlow, and ScreenFlow is just brilliant for screen capture work and that kind of stuff. Do your own screencasts and that kind of thing. Makes massive files if you want to, uncompressed, full resolution of your screen, and it'll dump it out. If you've got the computer that can deal with 4K, or if you've got a 5K monitor, it'll record 5K and it'll dump out a 5K movie. So it's just superb. It's only $55, something like that. It's ridiculous and really cheap for what it does. Uber are also not in Birmingham. I've tested every day, at least 3 times a day, and I still cannot get an Uber car. So Uber may love Birmingham, but I'm beginning to disbelieve them. And the bash is coming up. Yes. 3rd and 4th of July. 3rd for a curry, 4th of July for the event. £20 a ticket. You know the routine. It's absolutely superb day. Loads and loads of fun. You need to bring absolutely nothing but yourself. All your food, all your beer, wine, cider, soft drinks, etc., snacks, tea, coffee. It's all provided within that £20. So you need to get your ticket as soon as you can, because that helps us know that how many people are coming. We've got to pay for the venue. The venue alone is £400 higher for the day. So please get yourself sorted out for that. Curry is £10. That just comes off the bill at the end. We take a deposit for kids on that, but there's no additional cost for the kids. So their meal after that is free, because I don't think they'll struggle. They won't get over a tenner in food anyway. Although my lad did drink an awful lot of Coke last year and nearly peed the bed. Don't tell us I said that, though. 3rd and 4th, get your tickets, come along. Should be fantastic. Absolutely wonderful. Adam, what have I got to say about a photo?
About what?
You sent me a message about a photo or something.
About a photo?
No? All right. Maybe I've misread that. Fair enough. We love
you. You do have to mention the London thing.
Yeah, the Elmwood thing. I said that at the start of the show, mate.
Oh. Yeah. Missed it.
Yeah, so, okay, mate. You were still trying to get over Greening. Right, do we have...
What, hold on, what London thing?
The London Mac User Group is having an event at the Tiger Nightclub in the Haymarket on Monday the 9th to cover the Apple keynote at 5 p.m. Are you going?
Well, I don't know. Depends how it goes. That's the day I'm going to get sacked.
Well, yeah, you know you're not. People know what side their bread's buttered.
Even more reason to be at the pub.
Well, yeah, true.
I suppose there is that.
If you do, Greeny, let's go and get lashed next week, you and me, on a Wednesday.
Well, it's in Epsom, a famous for its race course.
Yes.
So they're going to sack me there. And then after that, I don't know what I'm going to do.
They're not going to sack you, dude. But well, let's
you go, don't know. You don't know this thing.
Well, let's just say whether they get you. Let's go and get wankered anyway. So there
okay,
we go.
Okay, it's a good point.
Hold on.
All right. Hold on.
All right. Go on.
What's going on Monday?
It's the Elmwood keynote. Stop it.
No, seriously, what is going on Monday?
It's the Elmwood keynote. There's a keynote from Apple, mate, launching the new watch. 6 p.m. UK time.
Oh.
There you go. Well done, mate.
Caught up to speed now.
So you've learned that there's an Apple keynote on Monday, and you've learned about bicubic interpolation upscaling. Brilliant, mate.
In all seriousness, are they launching the Apple Watch?
Yes.
On Monday?
Yes.
That's it. So why bother?
Yeah,
why not just sell it?
Well, send it to Tim and send your comments to Tim and see what he says. Why spend all this money on a live event, Tim, when you could just put it on sale and people would buy it anyway?
Yeah, but it just sort of makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, who wants to watch blooming Tim Cook for 2 hours talking about rubbish?
Marketing is vastly overrated, I'm sure, yes.
I mean, it wouldn't be, you know, if he was more entertaining, it would probably make the whole sort of painful process a little less painful, wouldn't it?
I'm sure if you tell him that, he'll be happy to take that criticism on board, mate. In the meantime, do you have a cool thing?
Yes, I do.
Quickly, before it turns into Saturday for the rest of us, not just Doc.
It's the BlackBerry passport.
Oh, give over!
Here it is. Here it is.
It doesn't even run BB10.
It doesn't, but it runs something very similar.
Yeah, BB9.
Well, it's got its own operating system. They cost about 100 quid. This is the 64 gigabyte version. Look, BlackBerry Playbook there. The case is a thing of absolute beauty. Do you want my honest opinion? And this has nothing to do with the passport. The Playbook is terrible.
Really? So
it's 3 or 4 years old now, and you can really tell it it's shit. So if I was you, I wouldn't buy one. And I'm an idiot that I bought one. And so that's it, really.
Why do you not listen to us, mate? Why do you not listen?
Because I trusted in them, and it's not very good. So now, on the other hand, the passport is great. It's super fast. It's got a ridiculous amount of memory. It's got tons of storage. It's super fast. It's much better than the iPhone. I really genuinely believe that. But if you're looking for a four-year-old, tiny, heavy tablet, then I probably wouldn't go anywhere.
If you're looking for a doorstop.
Yes, it pretty much is.
This is the pick, right?
But it's
a doorstop.
It's a doorstop.
Things about an inch thick.
Oh, greenie!
Well, sorry, Ewan.
Ladies present.
Oh, sorry. It's terrible. So that's my pick for possibly one of the worst purchases that I've ever made when it comes to technology.
Right. Do you have an Apple pick to counterbalance
no,
that? You don't.
Right? I don't.
Okay, good, mate. Okay, cheers. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Great pick, mate. Great pick.
Thank you.
Adam, what have you got for us?
Oh, boy. All right. I'm going to put a link in the chat room for a tweet that I put out that goes with my pick here. So I am picking a new app from Disney, and actually Disney Parks, which is interesting. It's called Show Your Disney Side, or just Disney Side. I'm not sure. I think it's called Show Your Disney Side. And if you're a fan of Disney or Star Wars or Pirates of the Caribbean or any of this stuff, this is just a fun little app that will let you, with your camera on your phone, take a picture of yourself and then turn you into a character from the Disney parks. So they've got a bunch of characters from Frozen, from Star Tours, from Pirates of the Caribbean, and it overlays, it does an amazing job of overlaying costumes and backgrounds and facial hair and special effects. I mean, you can turn yourself into Darth Maul if you really want. X-Wing pilot. And then it animates it as well. So you snap the picture and then it gives you a little overlay where you sort of, it tries to do facial detection and find your eyes and mouth. But then you can adjust it before you sort of finalize it. And then when you're all done, it's actually kind of creepy and weird and fun, and I don't know.
So
if you're into Disney at all, it's great.
You've done yourself as the villain from Aladdin.
Yeah. Yes. I did Jafar. So they have a series of Disney villains. You can be Captain Hook, Maleficent, or Jafar. And then there's a Haunted Mansion set, but you have to be at the Disney park to activate that one, unfortunately. So I'm hoping they'll continue to work on this and expand it. I don't know if this is it, a limited set. But then once you take your photo, you can share the photo, obviously, or share the video out on social media. And it's just a lot of fun, and it's free. So, hey, and I thought they did a really good job, because once you snap the picture, it actually animates you. So it'll blink your eyes or move your mouth, or it's really amazing. It's very similar to the folks over at Boca, you know that. They do a bunch of kids apps. They did something similar with their hair salon app.
Right.
Where they kind of turn you into an animated character. And animates it. So there's actually like morphing and animation that they lay over this automatically, and it's just amazing technology. So it's fun to play with.
Excellent. Okay, yep. Mate. And it does look cool. I mean, the picture of you as Jafar is excellent. Really, really good. Dave Panrios on Twitter says, is Greeny going to buy an Etch-a-Sketch now?
I've got one.
He's got one. There we go. did Greeny get an alert on his cranberry? Doc.
Well, you can all sod off, can't you?
Doc.
I've got the bloody thing now.
Doc, what have you got for us, man?
Bro, I'm losing it right now. This is hilarious. To think I've been up driving for like 8 hours to get to South Okinawa just to hear this kind of craziness. Anyway, so just because to show you how late in the morning it is for me, I'm going to pick something from Microsoft that I kind of sort of barely even like or use, but I want to give it out because people might not know. So I'm doing journalistic integrity and telling you what's good for you, not for me. Microsoft has just dropped a preview for Office for Mac that will get you Office 2015. And what that does is finally bring the Mac Office product to parity with the Windows Office product. So for those of you that are beaten in the dungeon as like five Mac guys, like my friend Glenn, who's in the office of 480 PC guys, but they got to try to coexist, now you can cohabitate a little better. And we know that cohabitate is a real word. So
yeah, I think so it's kind of cool. That just updated, Doc?
Yeah, it just happened.
Nice.
So it's sick. Now, right now, it's only the preview, but, you know, I've been messing with Windows 10, and their let the public beat it up and fix it for us mentality since Satya Nadella got involved has been pretty amazing. And so I'm going to go ahead and say, if we got to throw a disclaimer now, if you need to do work on a consistent basis, you might want to load this in like Parallels or VMware or somewhere safe, or do what I did and just load it anyway. If I have to write something where I need to be like mission critical, I'll just do it through Word via Office 365 online, which is close enough, or use a sucking iPad again, which is close enough. I don't really do that kind of stuff in Word where it's going to break too much of anything, but good for Microsoft, man. You know, they have been just moving in the last year and a half, and it's not the Microsoft I grew up with making fun of, you know, so I take it back.
No.
You're a cool kid now.
Nutella or...
I call him Satya Nutella because it's easier. Who cares? Satya Nutella works for this show.
He's been doing an awesome job, actually. I mean, I'm not sure if he was responsible for bringing the Office stuff finally to the iPad, but I always thought that was going to be an amazing move on their part, and I think it's proven that it was. So,
what is it with you Americans and your mission critical stuff? Why can't you just say important?
I was in the Army for 6 years. It's a word I got trained on. I can't take it out of my vocabulary. Sawed off.
Love you too, Doc. Kelly, what have you got for us, Mrs.?
Well, for you guys, I wanted to bring up Omni Group. They are in the middle of relaunching a lot of their iOS apps right now. I've never really bought into their system. This is probably the first time I'm interested in them because they're making all their iOS apps universal. They released OmniGraffle yesterday. Next week they're doing OmniFocus, and I think the week after that, OmniOutliner. So it'll be one app, iPhone and iPad, and they're trying to bring some parity across platforms too. So what you get on the Mac, you can get some of the features on your iPhone and iPad. As I said, I've never used them before, but I'm excited to try them and finally buying into their system.
Excellent, excellent.
I use almost everything from them. They're awesome.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Yeah, I've never taken a plunge, but now that I can get them on all my devices and easily with one app, then that's great.
Yeah, and they have their own sync service as well, OmniSync server, and it works beautifully, and it works with all their apps, so it kind of keeps everything, you know, if you have it on your Mac and your iOS devices, keeps everything in sync. It's great.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Good pick. My cool thing is Amazon Instant Prime Video app for iOS, because it is absolutely bloody brilliant.
It's good, huh?
Is it?
Oh, man. I love it. I'm a Prime user and a Prime Video user, and I've used me Amazon Fire TV. I love my Amazon Fire TV at the moment. And I've been watching a couple of series, and I thought, oh, I want to watch that on the train. And then I found the app, because I hadn't realized the app existed. And you can download the stuff onto your device so you can watch it on the train. And it's not actually a huge memory hog. It doesn't take up huge amounts of space. The video is really, really good, really clear. And you can keep it to watch, download, watch it as much as you want, get rid of it, and that's it. You can't dump it out, obviously, but it's encoded so that you've got it on there, and I've watched no end of stuff on the train on my phone. It's absolutely superb. Amazon Prime Video app for iOS. Absolutely
works with AirPlay,
brilliant.
Too, if you have an Apple TV.
That's even bigger, because that's normally that kind of stuff really kind of balks the AirPlay content, so you can't shuttle it around and play it elsewhere, so... that's brilliant. And I also want to say a huge thank you to a few people, because number one, Len Peralta, because we've got in touch with Len and said, would you make us some images for the new website? And he's come out with a set of drawings of a few of us. We've done 10 of us so far. We need to do more yet. We've got another 10 to do in the next batch. They're not cheap, but they're brilliant. So there's caricatures of all of the team coming for the website, and I want to say thanks to Paul Wheatley as well, because he's done a fantastic job building the website based on an idea from Righty from a while ago. So the pair have done a fantastic job. The new website should be going live this weekend, so that's, if all runs smoothly, it'll be going live. And thanks to the beta testers as well, particularly Andy Vaughan, who's been far more diligent than I think Paul would have liked.
it's good to have those people. As much mate. As being a developer, you kind of cringe when you see the emails coming in, but those people are important.
Yeah, no, he's like a 10-to-1 ratio compared to everyone else. But thank you. Thanks to Len. Great job, mate. They are us to a T. And thanks to the both Pauls, particularly Paul Wheatley, and thanks to the beta testers for helping us out with that. We will be live this weekend, I think. So.
Yeah. You gotta tell them to put a BlackBerry logo on Greeny's
t-shirt. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You know, when you come to the end,
yeah,
and you say, where can we get you and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I've been Googling. Now, is this an American term, knockers?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, it depends what it means. I mean, it may be used, but it depends what it depicts.
Well, I've been Googling it, or I've been GoDaddying it, and the one I've come up with is apairofknockers.com.
Right.
It's for £6.99.
Well, don't go to GoDaddy, go to UK2.net, for Christ's sake.
Yes, I will, absolutely. I will totally do that, but I've got an obsession. Am I on my own when you're buying URLs? Is that just me, or is, you know, like, in England, what's the, what's that thing in Cornwall called? You know.
I don't know what you're on about, Green, like most weeks, I suppose, but.
What? No, the big dome thing.
Edam Valley, Edam Project.
Right, so I registered the Edam Project, and made a version of the Edam Project.
Out of Edam cheese.
Right,
and
so
it didn't
you know,
catch on.
I didn't catch on. And so I'm just trying to register a pair of knockers.com. Is that me? Is that funny? Or is it just rude?
Well, you did start off one of your shows by going through a few of these websites that you're going to purchase. So I think, best of luck with that one there, Will.
I've always thought, this is genuine.
We've only got about 10 minutes left. So
okay. Yeah. Well, if we had if I bought a new house, and I've also it'd be really funny to put two door knockers on your front door, so when the postman put the thingy, the post for the door, he's got a pair of knockers.
Right.
And that has always made me laugh. What do you think? Is that a bad thing?
If it makes you laugh and it makes you happy, Grinny, that's all that matters, isn't it? It's not hurting anyone else. You go for it, mate.
No, it's not about me. It's for the postman.
No, I know, but if you think it would make him happy, then go for it, mate. That's your prerogative entirely.
Okay, I'm going to do it.
Right, do it. Good man. Thank you very much. You can send us a picture and we'll put it up next week. Next week's show, we've got Andy and Atko on and we've got the usual suspects and we'll be talking about the Apple Watch as was delivered by Apple on Monday. So do come in next week. We've also got a live show on Monday night. We're starting that at 5:45 and we'll be visiting to down to the Elmug event and getting some commentary from them, and then we'll be going to the live keynote and talking over the top of it like we normally do. Where can we get a hold of you, everyone? Start us off, Mr. Green.
Apairofknockers.com.
Apairofknockers.com. Thank you, mate.
And or British Mac.
At Will Green on Twitter and BritishMac.com.
Yes. No. The Twitter thing is British Mac.
At British Mac.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Sorry, mate. Thank you. Mr. Christensen.
Yeah, you can find me over at MacCast.com, MacCast on iTunes, MacCast on Twitter, all those other places. Just search for MacCast. You'll find me. And also, I do the iOS show with Jeff Gamet and Michael Johnston, and that's at theiosshow.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Doc, where are you, sir?
In Okinawa. No, you can find me anywhere on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, FaceSpace, my book, whatever you got, at DOCROCK, and then also writing for our new thing at MacUser.pro.
And go to bed in a minute. Thank you so much for staying up, old boy.
It's all good.
I do appreciate it. You've got an email, by the way, with your picture.
I saw it. It's funny. I love it. Awesome. It kind of looks like I'm stoned, but I love it. Yeah. I do realize I laugh with my eyes closed, so now I get where he got it from.
Yeah. And Kelly, where are you, Mrs.?
Well, you guys can find me at Apple World Today. That's where I do most of my writing. And on Twitter, at Kelly Hodgkins.
Excellent. Thank you, everyone, for coming along. It's been a fun afternoon. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. As I said, we'll be back next week. Mr. Anatka will be joining us to pull apart the Apple Watch and see what it's really made of. Thank you very much for listening. See you next week.